Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
So why should you consider switching from your bank? Maybe you've been with your bank a long time, and I can understand the loyalty. To a place like Leaders Credit Union, well, number one, your bank's in it to try to make money off of you. Leaders is not for profit. It's fully owned by its members. They've got 70,000 plus members in West Tennessee, and of course they've expanded their business into Memphis. They've got the brick and mortar branch out in Bartlett, just broke ground on a new one in Arlington. And plans to continue to expand into Memphis. They're serious about it, too. We told you they're putting their money where their mouth is, not just doing us a real favor in terms of being our studio sponsor here and trusting us to help get the word out, but they're going to be a part of such Memphis things as the Shelby County Pro-Am League. They're going to be a presenting sponsor. They're going to be unveiling their Ball Into the Bank Youth Financial Literacy Program there. And again, something we do every summer now, that Shelby County Pro-Am, and to have Leaders a part of it, it tells you how serious they are about being a part of this community and about helping you. You want to launch your savings, don't know how? You can do a Forward Plus high-yield savings account from Leaders Credit Union. No minimums, balance tiers, or restrictions to keep you from growing that money. You can earn up to 4.25% APY on that money. So again, to open an account, make the switch, visit leaderscu.com/ESPN. You use the promo code ESPN, whether you're at the brick-and-mortar branch or online. They're going to waive that membership fee. So again, ask yourself, what's your bank or your credit union done for you lately? Leaders is ready to do a lot for you. Again, visit that page, specially set up for our listeners. It's at leaderscu.com/ESPN. Leaders is federally insured by NCUA. All right, a couple of Tigers athletics notes. One of them here comes to us from Bill Connelly, the ESPN writer who we like over at ESPN right now, especially because he's got Memphis ranked as his top group of five team to make the college football playoff. Now, we've had Boise State second. Liberty was in the mix as well. We discussed that news last week when he put out that list. Today, he has the updated, and you got to be real analytical. You got to like your Ken Palms on the basketball sides, or I guess for John, it's Torvik now. Bill Connelly pretty much does that on the college football side over at ESPN. The analytics, your offensive efficiency, your defensive efficiency, your special teams, how efficient are they? He puts all those numbers together in his computer, and he comes up with what he calls the SP Plus rankings. And again, I would tell you they're akin to Ken Palm on the college basketball side. Y'all know how much we use Ken Palm. So it can be very useful, particularly as you want to relate to how you rank against and how you stack up against the rest of the country. So for the last few seasons, I've been paying pretty close attention to Bill Connelly's SP Plus rankings. Now, last year, I want to set it up so you'll know sort of where Memphis stands now by having some context of where they were last year. We know coming off a 10-win season, you beat Iowa State in the Liberty Bowl, but did not make the AAC title game. Your final SP Plus rankings last year, your offense, we mentioned it with Jonah Dillon on Friday, top 10. Number 10 in the country in offensive efficiency. Again, this is weighed against all the, you know, power fours and everything else. Back then, last year, still a power five. You are 10th in the country in offensive efficiency last year. They were back to being explosive. Ryan Silverfield had made that one of the goals last offseason, and we've got to get back to putting up points, and they did that last year. Defense, though, and we knew they had a problem there. And that's part of the reason why, one of the reasons why you've made a switch there. Jordan Hankins, now your defensive coordinator, and actually you'd given him the job on an interim role against Iowa State, looked great defensively, although as we've talked about, you know, Iowa State didn't know what you were going to run. You junked your entire defense the regular season. They had no tape on it.
Flipped it on them.
Hopefully that, you know, what you did in that Liberty Bowl can continue this season under Jordan Hankins. But last year they were 111 on defense, 62 on special teams. It put them overall at 55. Now, he updates these after spring practice and through this transfer portal, span that we've been on right now.
Okay.
So he has weighed in on these updated rankings, returning production, Seth Hennigan, Rock Taylor, and others, recent recruiting.
Yep.
So all the additions here lately, Elijah Herring, one of those. We talked about the linebacker coming up from Tennessee, one of their leading tackle last season, and then recent history. Those are the factors that go into this new updated ranking. So real quick, and don't need to do it too fast, last year overall, Memphis 55, right now, as of May 21st, heading into fall practice here in a couple of months, he's got Memphis at 39.
Pretty good.
So up 16 spots. Offensively, last year, remember, 10. He thinks Memphis is going to be better at 9.
Ooh.
And again, this is up with the big dogs. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the teams that he's got ranked ahead of you offensively are the Oregons of the world and everything else. And Oregon goes into the season. Oregon team that, by the way, will host Boise State. That game will end up being important for Memphis and its group of five, you know, hopes to represent the group of five in the college football playoff. That Boise State team, by the way, he's got 38th. So while Bill Conley so they're there together. Remember, he had Boise State second behind Memphis in his group of five teams that he feels like are best positioned to go to the college football playoff. In his analytics and with his computer, he's got Boise State one spot ahead. Again, a team that you will be essentially and potentially racing for that.
He's got Liberty
for that
41
college football playoff. You're looking
too.
At now. He's got Liberty, that other team he had in the top three, there at 41. So again, a bump up, a little bit of a bump up for Memphis, going from 55 to 39. You're right there with Boise State heading into the season. He's got that Boise State's team, it's more about balance. Their offense, 33, defense, 43, special teams, 23. Memphis's issue is that it doesn't have it. Right now, he's got the defense at 102. That's only a 9-spot jump from last year.
I think that could change. I think it's higher with these additions.
It has to be.
These additions?
Exactly, Brad. That's where I was going. Like, it has to be better than 102.
I think we're better
this coming season, particularly with what you've brought in.
I agree.
You're bringing back Chandler Martin, who was the all-AAC sub for you at linebacker. You're bringing in Tennessee's leading tackler. Yes, there are some questions in the secondary, but they have to be better than in the hundreds.
Yep.
Frankly, Brad, if you could jump into the 80s or 70s, you're still in a great position to be.
We've already increased the pass rush. Is better already.
I'm just saying, if you can get to below average as opposed to one of the worst in college football, then I think, again, with this explosive offense, it could be what you need to run the table in the American, maybe give Florida State a run for its money, but more importantly, make that college football playoff ahead of a Boise State or a Liberty. Now, I thought the other useful thing in his SP Plus rankings was to look at the rest of the AAC.
Okay.
And so you have to go down, Brad. I saw you noted where those other teams that you're
Liberty
battling for conference champion.
Boise are right by you.
You got to keep going down to find the next AAC team. It's UTSA.
Okay.
Not Tulane, sitting at 53. He's got that UTSA team who we know is going to have a new quarterback. Doesn't have Harris anymore, but still has Traylor. He's got them 52nd offensively, 70th defensively. A little bit better balanced than Memphis, but more importantly, he's got them as the second team, at least right now, in the AAC in terms of analytics.
Okay.
Then he's got Tulane down at 65. Then he's got South Florida. Now, we mentioned it. That's the thing about the Tigers' schedule, which we love, in terms of the winning opportunities, but we pointed out that the toughest teams in terms of the AAC that are on your schedule, the UTSAs, Tulanes, and South Florida's, are all on the road. And so, again, that those will be critical matchups for Memphis. I would still tell you, no excuse, because, right. again, I mean, Seth Hennigan has given you, frankly, a four-year head start on where Tulane and UTSA are right now. Yeah, Tulane, in their case, they're breaking in a new coach. Yes, he was a winner, comes over from Troy, but they've got work to do in terms of finding continuity. You've got continuity coming back and, oh, by the way, some great additions. Rest of the conference, as bad as you would expect. Right. In terms of top 100, the only other there are three more AAC schools in the top 100, Rice at 89, Army at 95, and ECU at 99. Yikes. After that, your bottom feeders, your UAB 105, Navy is at 108, North Texas 109, and FAU 115, and then the real bottom feeders, Temple 132, Charlotte 127, Tulsa 116. The analytics and the numbers just underline the point that we've been making. This is Memphis's conference for the taking. And again, guys are going to, guys that are not on the radar right now, I'm sure a Chandler Martin last year coming over from East Tennessee State, not on the radar of the SP Plus, analytics, but comes in and is an all-AAC guy. There will be those kinds of jumps, whether it's a Memphis guy, things unforeseen that pop up. And by the time you get to week one or week two, it'll change some of these rankings. But it gives you an idea. And I just think further cosigns, just like we've seen in terms of the win totals that have come out for the AAC, like we've seen from Bill Connelly's previous G5 rankings, just further underlines how this is it's there for the taking.
You probably need some of these low bottom dwellers in your conference to perform a little better as an aggregate.
Well, you particularly need it again as it applies to strength of schedule.
That's what I'm
again,
saying,
when you're going to be when you're talking about that group of five representative college football playoff is going to be the highest ranked conference champion.
Yeah.
Well, because Boise State's playing a tougher schedule in conference, one that includes former Pac-12 members, yep. Washington State, Oregon State, it's going to be stronger than yours. And so if they're if they're going through their schedule with just one loss,
right.
To Oregon, I think that game is at Oregon,
right.
But they run the table in the Mountain West. Guys, they're going to pick Boise State over Memphis because what Boise State will have done in winning every other game besides their premier game right. against Oregon is won against a stronger schedule. So that's back to your point, Brad. Yeah, you need these bottom feeders to be better in the AAC than they are on paper.
Yep.
So that your hopefully undefeated record in the AAC means something. It matters. But frankly, it's going to be hard to because most of the Mountain West teams at the top, Boise State, some of the others,
they're
ranked higher
schedules.
Than yours. And you're adding in this Pac-12 dynamic of getting a chance to play Washington State, Oregon State as part of your conference schedule, even though technically they're not in your conference.
Well, like last year, and I'll take South Florida for example. Like I realize Memphis is going to get a crack at Florida State. That's going to be a tough one. But like South Florida gets Bama. Remember last year? They almost got Alabama on the road. They're going to be at Alabama. And then they also get to play Miami. Like, I could see a situation where South Florida knocks off Miami. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but you at least get those kind of games in your conference.
You need it. I mean, having them right now in the conference, he's got South Florida, fourth? I mean, you could use a South Florida team that is on the on the upward trajectory and did seem to be last year. Second-year guy down there now. And so, you're hoping that continues, continues, and maybe they knock off of Miami, something like that. But anything you can get to increase the strength of your conference, mm-hmm. you could really use the help on. So that's your note there on Memphis football. Again, the numbers looking good after finishing at 55 last year in the SP Plus rankings. Again, a lot of that on the power of an offense that was ranked 10th. Bill Connelly's got him at 39 right now at the SP Plus rankings, a 16-spot jump. Thinks the offense going to be a little bit better at number 9 in the country. I mean, that's saying something. You're up there with the big dogs. I'm hoping for more improvement than a jump from 111 to 102 on defense. And certainly I'm betting that Ryan Silverfield and Jordan Hankins, the new defensive coordinator, are betting on that as well. You take care of some improvement there. Again, I just tell you to get to average, get to right below average as opposed to as bad as you were last year. And you should be able to accomplish certainly the goal of winning the AAC. Now, real quick before we get to Nick Friedell, I wanted to get to some of the things that Penny Hardaway said on a podcast. Looks like it was with Iguodala and with Who's My Guy? I'm not as familiar with that podcast.
Oh, this is the podcast. Yeah,
Evan Turner is the other one. Yep. Yeah, Evan Turner is the other guy on the podcast. Here. Brad's getting the audio for us. The podcast is called Point Forward, and in it, Penny Hardaway discussed, I think for the first time publicly, losing Ashton Hardaway to the transfer portal and the weird dynamic of, you know, son leaving father's program.
What's that type of conversation like when he's like, yo, Pops, I think I'm going to transfer out and head to St. Mary's? It takes one thing to be able to recognize that, but to be able to remove yourself and have that type of support system, what's that mindset like? Is it just one thing of like caring for the best situation for all your players? Or are you like, yo, I got a 24-year-old flamethrower that that might be shooting 45%. He might be giving me a contract extension, son. Like, you know what I mean? What's that conversation like?
No, I think
that's a real thing to go through.
Right. I think in today's world, you know, when Ashton went back to L.A., he and Bronny are really close friends. Bronny got in the portal and decided to, you know, to put his name in the NBA draft. And right after that, you know, Ashton spoke about wanting to do that because I don't think he was ever comfortable here because we kind of forced it. And I felt kind of guilty for that because it's probably not where he really wanted to come. I think he wanted to make me proud to come here. But I think St. Mary's is a wonderful choice for him because that's more his style, his flow, and what he wants to do. Even though I wanted him around me every day to just, you know, to pour into him. But in today's world, I mean, there's other coaches' sons around the country that I've seen that have transferred and gone other places. And you can't do anything but champion it and just applaud it and say, hey, I'm going to support you and whatever you do, and I'll be there whenever you need me. But he's trying to create his own path, and I definitely support that. But it is weird, you know, to have your son transfer, but at the end of the day, you know that in today's world, nothing is weird anymore. It's just how it is, and you just let them be free and not want to hold them back or hold them down from their dreams.
Wow.
Couple things there. He acknowledged it's weird, and we said it's weird, you know.
Yeah.
Because, it, you know, if you,
it's your kin, man. This is different.
Nobody's going to think higher of you as a player than your father.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if he clearly has other plans in terms of next year and what he sees you as is in the program, then, you know, I think you're more willing to let your son fly in this case or go be free. Because, again, we've made the point. If Penny had big plans or saw Ashton as some huge part of the rotation next year, you'd think you're putting your foot down, whether that's both as, hey, I'm your father, your coach here, but, hey, here's some more NIL. Penny didn't do that. Said he wanted. And I think another very key point, and maybe this is hindsight's 20/20, but he said in there Ashton probably didn't want to go here in the first place.
Right.
We kind of forced it because I'm dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a Division I college coach at a program right now that could use a player like Ashton Hardaway, and we forced it. So there was an admission, it felt like to me, that, you know, if everything was on the up and up there initially and you're letting Ashton have his way, then he's maybe going a different way. Now, again, hindsight be 20/20 on that, all that said, but clearly an acknowledgement that the fit wasn't working, and he'd rather see his son go be happy somewhere that he is going to fit.
You know, Penny mentioned Bronny, and those guys are close, and that Bronny's...
He played with them last year, Sierra Canyon, that
team, but I do think it's admirable of Penny from this regard. You don't want your kid... Like, let's say he doesn't make the league, which by all indications, Ashton probably not going to make the league. You don't want to be the coach, especially the dad, where you look back and you go, you know, my dad held me back, or maybe I didn't make the league because of him. In this case, you remove that, right?
That's fair, too.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when it inevitably...
Off of both sides.
Now, I hope Ashton makes the league. I think he's a fine college basketball player.
Yeah, I don't know if he's athletic enough.
But he may not probably be a league player. Having said that, if you're not his coach, it at least removes that from your plate if it doesn't
go... Right, kid can't hold it against you.
I would hate that. That would eat at me if that happened.
No, that's a fair point. I would tell you, more interesting to me, even though I thought, you know, Penny's acknowledgement of the situation is pretty weird, was interesting.
Yep.
And Jason Munns has done us a favor here and gone through all of the podcasts.
He went through the whole thing.
And pulled out some of the other relevant things in terms of Penny and his job here at Memphis. And he talked about how he was asked if in this new NIL era he's still having fun. He said, man, I don't know about saying fun. obviously happy the guys are getting their name, image, and likeness, you know, getting paid for that. But this thing has turned upside down, to be very honest. It's challenging, no lie. He said that he talked about numbers with NIL. He got real open with them. He said a big part of the challenge for schools, I'm reading from Jason Munns' story over at commercialappeal.com, is that the players they're increasingly asking for more with NIL, which you would expect. But he talks numbers. But the later it gets, and you've got to have them, that might jump to 200,000 or 300,000. You start thinking, hey, man, you're not Evan Turner or Andre Iguodala. I don't know about that, bro. To me, there was already an expectation. Now it's an even higher expectation. When I start paying you that much money, you're making more than my assistant coaches, which is a realization that I'm sure coaches all over the country have had to come to as their players are, you know, they've said the top three, four guys in your rotation are making more than your assistants. The other thing that I thought was really interesting that he opened up on, we know that Penny has talked about having NBA aspirations in terms of being a head coach. But he's very direct, or was very direct, at least according to what Munz pulled out of the podcast again with Turner and with Iguodala. He said, it's actually a dream of mine to coach on the NBA level. I think about it daily. That stuck out to me. I know I'll have to pay my dues and come in at whatever level, which is fine. But my goal is to coach in the league one day. I don't know when. It could be 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It could be earlier than that, but I definitely want to do it. Penny Hardaway thinks about being an NBA coach
daily.
That's
striking. That's striking. I mean, and scary and distracting.
Well, again, I knew he had aspirations. I didn't know that daily it's part of his sort of, you know, of your
that's
of
a
your
lot.
Charted goals.
Right.
And so, it's not like Penny Hardaway isn't working to fix the Memphis basketball program. Look at the work of the transfer portal. He's already pulled seven guys out of that. You know, you can tell yourself
he's doing the work.
He's doing the work, clearly. But to hear that's, you know, something he thinks about on a daily basis. You know, I've talked about working out some of those non-Tigers, whether it's Reese Beekman or Grimes, and sort of what that does for you. I mean, with Grimes, it improved his draft position. We'll see if that helps with Beekman or not. Looks like it's still going to be tough for him. But, you know, all of that, the player development side, could all be part of the, you know, master plan. And we had mentioned it because of him having those NBA aspirations. But he made it pretty clear with Evan Turner and Iguodala, 5 or 10 years, I plan to be up there at that level, y'all, as opposed to y'all talking about me as the Memphis basketball coach. Interesting. I'd be interested to see what state Memphis is in when Penny Hardaway decides to leave it for the NBA, because as he stated, it's a goal for him. We'll see what Nick Friedell thinks, but more so about these NBA playoffs as we start the conference finals tonight over on the east side with Boston and the Pacers. We'll have Nick Friedell, our Odyssey NBA insider, up next. You're listening to Jason John, 929 FM, ESPN. On the phone is Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. So delighted to have Nick in this segment every Tuesday, particularly as we get deeper into these NBA playoffs. Before we get to those playoffs, Nick, and thanks again for your time, man. We just came off of reading some Penny Hardaway comments. He was on the Point Forward podcast with Andre Iguodala, Evan Turner. And, you know, he's discussing being a college coach, NIL, how it's flipped the world, the college basketball coaching world upside down, players making more money than the assistants, blah, blah, blah. Went on to say, and this is where I want to start with you, that he does aspire to be an NBA coach and that he's willing to pay his dues. And I took from that, you know, at some point if he's got to be an assistant on a staff, he's willing to do that. Said didn't know if it'll be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, but he said he thinks about it daily in terms of being a coach in the NBA. And so I've got two questions for you. One is, do you subscribe or believe in the theory, and I don't know that it's been proven, but that point guards do make for better coaches? And then number two, does Penny Hardaway seem like the kind of guy to you that could get in the league and be a real success?
Well, let's start with the first part, because it feels like guards do have a little bit more success, but to say, Jay, that I subscribe to that theory alone, not completely, because you just never know. It depends on the chemistry between players and coach in the moment. I've seen plenty of certainly assistants or big dudes who have come in and they have control of the locker room.
Phil Jackson, no doubt. Yeah.
Completely. Yeah. I mean, that's always going to be the guy that comes to mind first, but it all depends on ego management, at least in my experience.
That's the most important thing.
That is number one, more than a guard mindset or a big man mindset. It depends on how you can handle the personalities in that room.
Yep.
So that segues nicely into the second part, which is, do I think Penny could do it? Absolutely. I mean, I say this with a bias, though, and I have to put this out front. I grew up in Orlando. I had a Penny Hardaway poster on my wall as a little kid.
You and everybody here in Memphis with you, brother, so you may as well be a Memphian for this segment. We're right with you. Orlando was our team, Nick. I mean, we didn't have the Grizzlies. Orlando was completely, our NBA team. Yes.
Completely.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm just sitting here laughing. I mean, I grew up watching Penny in Orlando, and then I go to Chicago, and I cover Derek for 10 years. So, I mean, there is Memphis ties running in my basketball career from the beginning. But as far as Penny goes, what you hear, and I actually talked to James Wiseman about this a few years ago when I was covering the Warriors, because that's when he first started, is just the way he's able to connect with players. Mm-hmm. I know down in Memphis he hasn't had the high level of success that he has wanted to date yet, but if he's putting it out there that he wants to end up as an NBA coach, there's a reason for that. You know, clearly that's a goal of his. And not only will he come in with the respect of a guy who has proven it at the highest level, I mean, all it takes is one YouTube search and you go, oh, okay, Penny, you know, he could do it with Shaq and that group as well as anybody when he was healthy. But can he do it down the line with the new era of player who's coming in? I think certainly his college experience is going to help. But it all depends on how he fits with the personalities of whatever team may come down the line. I'll be very curious to see how it plays out. But knowing the little bit that I know about him now, I do think he would fit. And I would assume that at some point, if he has success in Memphis and he gets them to that higher place, that somebody in the league will give him a shot.
I do wonder this, Nick, and I agree with you on everything you said about Penny in terms of relationships and anything else and the communication. I wonder, and I'm looking at the Lakers situation, just, you know, related to this, if Penny would be willing to sit. You know, Patrick Ewing sat a long time as an assistant coach. That spot never came. It feels like, you know, Sam Cassell is up for this job with the Lakers, along with a J.J. Redick, and one feels like he's paid his dues, and the other one feels like he's friends with LeBron and maybe even gets, you know, the favor of that and gets the job over Sam Cassell. So I wonder if the old school do pan, if you were willing to do that, if Penny Hardaway is willing to sit on a bench for as long, and then it may never come. You know, and I'm saying all that to maybe talk about if it needs to be almost – you do well at Memphis so that maybe you're in line for a head coaching spot. I mean, he was a candidate. I don't know how serious it was, but he was a candidate for the Orlando job. I just wonder if the way the NBA is set up today, whether it's a recycled coach, whether it's a celebrity coach or a guy like J.J. Redick, and I have no idea how you feel about J.J. Redick in that spot. It's just changed, man, where you may be willing to sit on a bench for 5-6 years and or longer, and that call may never come. I just doubt whether Penny's willing to do that.
I would say in my experience, having covered the league and watched how things have changed, certainly in the last 5 or 6 years, and the point about Redick is well taken. What I would tell Penny or anybody else is, if you want to have success and you want to jump into the NBA, I think the best way to do that is to continue to have success where you're at. In his case, it's Memphis.
Yep.
I just don't feel like, unless you are one of these all-time assistant coaches who's grinded for years and years and years in the league, a la, and the name that comes to my mind is Tom Thibodeau, and I say that because you mentioned Ewing. I remember interviewing Ewing, and this is years ago. He was an assistant for the then Bobcats.
Yeah.
And he turned around after the interview. He goes, you know what? I'm not going to end up like Tibbs. His point was, I'm not going to sit in the NBA for 10, 15, 20 years. Wait for my chance that never comes. He goes to Georgetown. He didn't have success, and we saw how that ended. But if I'm Penny or I'm any other college coach who has aspirations of jumping into the league at some point, certainly Penny will have a step in front of a lot of guys because he was such a damn good player when he was healthy. But if you want to have that success and make that jump, the best thing that he could do is is take Memphis back to the top and do it as soon as possible.
Could not agree more. I'm assuming because you had that poster on the wall that if you had your way, just based on the career, you'd be with us, that Penny should be in the Hall of Fame? Or because it was so brief, and it was, do you have to hold against him and maybe the coaching side help gets him in? He was just a finalist, missed the cut, obviously, but would you put him in based on the greatness that we saw for that short time?
It's so fascinating because I feel like the Penny conversation with the Hall of Fame is going to end up being what the Derrick conversation and the Hall of Fame will be. And certainly Derrick had even more success, youngest MVP in league history, you know, almost getting Memphis to the title that year with Cal. I would say as much as I love Penny, I don't view that short moment in time as enough to get him over the hump now.
Sure.
But I'd also say somebody who watches how the Basketball Hall of Fame operates feels like everybody's a Hall of Famer. Like that Oprah clip, like, hey, you had a few good years, you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. So I feel like he'll find his way in if he needs a little more oomph from the coaching resume over the years, you know, okay. But everybody who is seemingly close in the Basketball Hall of Fame eventually seems to find their way to Springfield.
Yep. The hope is that he will, too. We're talking with the great Nick Friedell here on the show. Insider Calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track, all-wheel drive, and standard third-row seating. Nick, what will you be watching closest in terms of things you'll be paying the most attention to when Dallas and Minnesota meet in the Western Conference Finals? What's the swing factor? What's the X factor to you?
I still can't believe that we're even having the conversation. Because, I mean, we've been talking about this for a few months in how Minnesota has continued to improve. And you and I both thought that the Clippers were going to get past Dallas originally. Yep. The fact that these two teams have made it to this point shows that all this stuff matters in the biggest spots, and you never know who's going to show up. As far as the answer to your question, I would say, can Karl Anthony Towns continue to play at the type of high level that he showed not only in that Denver series, but in Game 7 specifically when the Timberwolves needed a few big plays? I know he didn't play as much down the stretch, and then he reappeared after some of their foul trouble. But if Towns is playing like this, the world is Minnesota's oyster. I mean, this was the knock on Karl Anthony Towns for years. Hell of a player, would have some big regular season games. When you needed him the most, he wasn't going to be there. And by having Anthony Edwards as the number one guy, by getting Gobert in there to play defense, it has freed up Towns and his game to do more. I still don't know if I trust him to the point where you think, okay, well, he'll help push them through and into the finals. Mm-hmm. But he's got to be the guy who can give them that extra boost because he's been there the longest. He knows what the pressure is like for Edwards night to night as the face. And if Towns can show up in the way he has in the postseason already, I think Minnesota's going to have a hell of a chance to win this series.
I'm again, so with you on this. I talked about this series and pointed to Karl Anthony Towns, a guy that I'm not sure Dallas is going to be able to defend him if you're getting high-level Karl Anthony Towns. But I'm so with you, too, on just having watched him. I'm not ready to trust yet that it will be there every night. And it gets me to my point that it's why it's been so beneficial for them, such a blessing for them, to have a guy like Naz Reid, who even when Karl Anthony Towns is in one of those funks or he's got in foul issues, dude, Naz, man, has, you know, just the way he stepped up, you know, going forward, I realize they're going to have some decisions to make, but I'd be trying to keep him a part of what I'm doing, you know, for the long haul. He seems, you know, I'm not going to say as key as Karl Anthony Towns, he's not, but so key, too, to what they've done and in dispatching Denver. Like, Naz has been unbelievable.
It's such a good point because Naz Reid is that glue type of guy.
Amen.
On a team like this where you go, well, You know, Edwards has been unbelievable at times. He's coming into his own, and Towns and Gobert are more proven. But if you don't have Naz Reid, you're not where the Timberwolves are right now.
That's just
and
the truth.
Those are the type of performances that you need if you're going to get a team into the finals and potentially win it. I mean, there's a reason why so many people in the Twin Cities are getting that tattoo.
Yep.
I'm sure you saw those stories. Like, I mean, he's become like a cold hero,
no doubt,
in that whole region because he continues to just play and work and do the little things that any great team needs. So if you're getting production like that from top to bottom, of course they have the confidence that they're showing. They just beat the defending champs. They feel like they can do whatever they want. I would say in the next breath, though, as much as you should believe in a guy like Reed and what Edwards is doing and Towns, et cetera, these are the moments where Luka and Kyrie are brought in, especially Kyrie in the last year.
Right.
And these are the times where you expect them to be able to lift everybody else up. So I think it's a fascinating series. I'm really intrigued to see how it plays out. But you've got two teams that absolutely believe that they have what they're going to need. But I'm with you in this sense. As you're trying to break down what's going to happen over the next couple weeks, what worries me if you're Minnesota is your defense has been really good. Can you stop those two guys? And if you're Dallas, do you have that size and length that right. you're going to need against a team that is as tall and athletic as the Timberwolves are?
Those are the questions. And then with Celtics-Pacers, do you suspect we'll get a laser mind, laser focus type effort from the Celtics and we're looking at 4 or 5? Or are we going to get a Celtics team that leaves the door open and maybe for a game, maybe for 2 games, maybe more, you've got Indiana giving them, you know, more than they want? What do you think we see here?
It should be 5 because we're always waiting for Boston to give up some ridiculous game.
Yep.
I mean, they did it against Miami. They did it against Cleveland. They go back to last year. I mean, there's no reason why this thing should last more than 5 games. Boston, on paper, is just better. But I say that. I sat there and watched that Heat-Celtics series last year. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching Boston just completely melt down in those first few games. And they're looking at each other on the floor like, what's
Carl,
happening?
I know. It's like, I don't know if I can trust it. I'm right with you.
Exactly. And when you're watching that, and when that has happened repeatedly over the last few years, there's only one group of people who can change the narrative. And the narrative right now is Boston has had a hell of an easy path to get to this point. Now they're facing a very unproven Pacers team that played extremely well in Game 7. But, and it's a big but, the Knicks were completely on empty. I mean, that team was broken down, out of gas. Done. The Pacers deserve the credit for hitting all those shots, but can they take their game and go into Boston and at least split one of these first two? I don't see it. I see Boston winning this series with ease, but if they let this young Indiana team hang in there, all they're going to do is give them more confidence. And we have seen time and again when Boston does that and they mess around, even if they win the series, they have expended way too much energy to go into the finals and then expect to win that. So if they've learned anything from their previous mistakes, this series should not go longer than 5.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. Nick, you're the best, man. Appreciate your time, brother.
John, always good to be with you, buddy. I'll talk to you next week.
It's a pleasure. That was Odyssey NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider Calls, of course, brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure.
Thank you, John, for that interview today.
Hey, man.
You represent both halves of the show, at least for this month.
I hope that Jason is enjoying his paternity leave. And I'll continue to hold the show down for him until he's back.
We've always been tight with Nick.
Dude, it's
I love
Nick to death.
I think he called you Jason mid-interview, so we went to both of them.
It doesn't bother me one bit because it happens so often. Even Norton Hurd IV, who I've known for years.
It happens.
Comes on here and he calls me John.
Yeah.
And again, because John is such a driver.
Well,
you're always thinking.
You're driving and also in the seat
this
week.
I appreciate Nick Friedell. Appreciate you, Brad Carson. We're going to be right back and get you set for Giannotto and Jeffrey. You are listening to Jason and John. Very excited that we get started with the conference finals tonight, because last night was a little bit of a bummer not having everything.
Caitlin didn't do it for you.
Had to go to CNN. I'm letting Brad watch Caitlin now because they're 0-4.
Yeah, it's tough.
And they're playing the damn Connecticut Sun or the Liberty every night. Literally, have only played two teams. So, yes, it will be great to have NBA back tonight. And as you know, Fave Brad tonight's got Celtics minus 10.5. Little bonus bet, little extra. He's going over on Jason Tatum made threes at plus 3.5. You know what to do on Fade Brad. I'd like to thank our guests today, the great Jessica Benson and Nick Friedell. Make sure to stay tuned for Giannotto and Jeffrey. For Brad, I'm Jason. We're gone.